the bulk of the people that I knew growing up that are in that denominational system that is so far removed from Scripture, the bulk of them will be at the visitation rather than at the funeral. The way they do things. And there will be some at the funeral, but there will be ample opportunity from about 4 till 9 to speak with these folks. So you pray for that visitation, those visitation hours, just like you pray for the funeral. That we say the right thing, that we hold forth the glory and honor and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ in the proper way, and that we say the right things, the things the Lord wants us to. So, like I said, I'll probably say some of this again sometime today before I leave here. I want to continue in the rambling around of the last four chapters of the book, or five chapters of the book of Romans. And I want to look at something here in Romans chapter 15, if you will. Start reading with me in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now I want to talk to you about verse 4, because of the principle of studying the Bible by rightly dividing. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The principle of rightly dividing means that all Scripture is indeed written by God, and all Scripture is indeed for our learning. But it's not all written to us individually. There are things in the Bible that God instructed people expressly to do, perform, or to be, and you couldn't come anywhere close to that, and you know that. You know that that's true. You wouldn't have to remember very much Scripture until you'd run into something that you can't do. How about build an ark to the saving of your household? Or any number of other things, hundreds and hundreds of things in the Scripture that God never told us to do. Well, surely He must have told us something to do. Well, He did. And that's what rightly dividing the Word of Truth is all about. From Genesis to Revelation, all of it is God's Word. The whole thing is God's Word. We are not at all privileged to remove, change, alter, or add to any of it. But God expressly told us to rightly divide it. Rightly dividing the word of truth is a principle. And then we're going to look at a lot of principles here today in Scripture. Rightly dividing the word of truth is a principle. The principle is not ours. People say, you rightly dividers, or this, that, or the other thing. Well, bless your soul. Anybody that believes God Almighty's Word divides it somewhere. Everybody that hangs their hat on a denominational name divide it somewhere. Question is, do you rightly divide it? That'd be the question. From Genesis to Malachi, we call it the Old Testament. It's 39 books. And it is two, four, and about a nation, Israel. Jesus Christ is born, and that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus Christ came two, four, and about Israel. The last nine books of the Bible are Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. And they are written about the future. They are written about prophecy not yet fulfilled, and it is to, for, and about Israel. So, the modern Christian era comes along, extracting itself from an even larger era, and says, we must be the new Israel. And they have zero scripture to back that up. Nowhere, no how, that you could claim that you were any part of the new Israel. As a matter of fact, you won't find a new Israel in the Bible. Just like you won't find the term bride of Christ in the Bible, nor do you find the term spiritual Israel in the Bible, and on and on and on. So what happens is that men desire certain things, and they desire to be authoritative about certain things, and so they haven't got the energy and the intestinal fortitude to rip part of it out or to add to it over here on this. So they just sort of bend it just a little bit and say, see, that means we're spiritual Israel. Well, whatever they're looking at when they say that, bless your soul, it means what it says. You don't need to interpret it. You need to believe it. So you come along to this guy, Paul, and he begins to write. And he writes Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. His name, Paul, is at the start of every one of those 13 books, and all 13 of those books are written to the same people, and it's Gentiles who by those 13 books have formed the body of Christ. Gentiles are not written to in the first 43 and a half books. I'll put the book of Acts in there. Gentiles are not written to in the last 9 books. The body of Christ is not mentioned in those 44 books, and it's not mentioned in those 9 books. The body of Christ is mentioned 20 times in those 13 books. Now let me tell you something. If you believe in rightly dividing the word of truth, that you should ignore those 13 and go by what it says in those other 53, have at it. If you believe that, you're going to have a hard time in Matthew 5 and 6. You really are. I ran into a friend of mine up in Indiana one time, and he told me,